Well, the Bible says that every time you come to this table, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are remembering, but you are declaring his sacrifice. And we come on this Palm Sunday weekend to remember God's sacrificial love. Now, there is without argument a most famous verse in the Bible, not only known by those inside, but those outside the church, as we've seen it plastered at so many events. And we all know what it is. It is John 3:16. And that's where we're going to start this morning. It's in your bulletin, but it's also on the side screens. So would you join me, North and South service, would you read with strong voices this morning? We almost don't even need it up there, but there's so many translations anymore that we still need the help. So let's read together. For God... Wait a minute. See, you're throwing in words that aren't there. So I'm sure the North side did much better than us, but we screwed up reading the Bible. So sinners that we are. So we're going to read it one more time. All right, read what's on the screen, okay? Ready? Let's try again. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We all know it. God so loved that he gave. At the core of God is sacrificial love. Now, at my core, I am so different than that. Giving for me, we don't even have to talk about sacrificial giving. But giving for me can be so unnatural and so painful. I was, as I have for many, many years, was honored. I had a husband and wife who asked me, would you sit with us? We're really struggling. We're losing our marriage. And so I said, look, as I tell everybody, look, I'm no therapist, but I'd be happy to be a friend and just hear your story and reflect back to you honestly as I just call you to the way of the cross. So it was probably the second time that we met together, and he comes in, and he's just exasperated, and he's so overdramatic anyway. And he announces, this is why the marriage won't work. This is why I can't live with her. Her expectations are beyond anything that is reasonable. So I said, well, look, why don't you slow down and just tell me what happened? And so he said, look, I know, and says her name, I know she loves flowers. She's a flower kind of girl. She loves the beauty and the fragrance that they bring to any living space. And so she loves flowers. I had a project at work that has required some late nights. And so I was on my way home one evening, and I needed to stop by the store and pick up a few personal items for the next day. So I stopped at the store before going home, and then I noticed that there was a little flower section where they were selling flowers. He said, I went over there, and I'm thinking of her. I mean, you know, he wanted us to give him a standing ovation, you know. I was thinking of her, and I went there, and he said, it was really picked over. But then he said, I saw a little sign that said 50% off what's left. And, you know, in his brilliant spiritual being. He said, this is God. I mean, this is God. So I can meet my practical needs and take care of the love deal at home. And so he bought a little thing of flowers and took them home. And then he turns to me and says, and Mark, I'm telling you, she was so unimpressed. And it was painful, you know. And she's just quiet the whole time. And so he goes on again into his tirade of, she's impossible, I can't live with her. And so there's a quiet moment. She just said, you know, Mark, I would have appreciated it. She said, I was really grateful for his thoughtfulness, but it would have meant a lot to me if he would have just taken the 50% sticker off the cellophane on the flowers. So you can tell the guy's rather thick. It misses him entirely. So he says, look, this is why the marriage isn't going to work. What do you want? Do you want me to be inconvenienced? Is that what you want? Do you want me to go out of my way? Does it have to be expensive? And she said, sometimes yes. So then he's looking to me for reinforcement. And I just said, dude, that's what love does. That's what love does. Love gives. Love isn't about what's easiest, what's quickest. See, God so loved that he gave. Love sacrifices. God gives his only son. And if you want to know what you love, then simply answer this one question. What is it that you sacrifice for? Because here's something true about you, of every human being, ever, this is a universal truth. You are a person who sacrifices. It's just that you sacrifice for that which you love. One of the great stumbling block questions that people ask all the time about Christian faith is, now look, this Jesus, why a cross? I mean, you realize, don't you, that at the heart of our faith, our corporate logo is a cross. Now you think about that. Because if you're going to get a faith together, let me tell you, your corporate logo will not be the sign of humiliation and loss. We want a superhero who gets the job done. We want a swoosh as our corporate logo. The sign of winners. Not of losers. See, couldn't God have gotten the whole redemptive deal done? Couldn't he have forgiven human sin in a less costly way? And so oftentimes Christians will answer this as though there were some kind of law. It's like the law of gravity. You try to defy it, but you can't. There was some kind of law that was forcing Jesus' hand to a cross against his will. He really had no choice. His will was hijacked. Oh, he did all this. He did this cross deal, but he really didn't want to. Why a cross? The answer is because that's what love does. In fact, love joyfully searches for ways to give. Jesus goes to a cross in spite of its cost, but Jesus goes to a cross because of its great cost. It will be in this weekend, this week of Passion that is before us, that Jesus will walk to a cross, and on Friday, he will take his last breath, and in that proclaim, he will cry out, "It is finished." And in those words, he is expressing his great love for you, for me, and for the whole world. See, God could not have gone more out of his way to get to a mountain called Calvary. And the Bible is the story of people who are seized by that sacrifice. And when it happens, the only sane and reasonable response is to follow, to obey, and to worship with thanksgiving. We've come, as we have done for decades on this Palm Sunday, to remember the price of his sacrifice. And when that love gets in a little community of people, watch out. And that's what we read, the record. It's recorded in Acts chapter 2. There'd never been a sacrifice like it before in the history of the world, and there'd never been a response to it like that in the history of the world. Acts chapter 2, the church is born. Now let me move that timeline forward. It's the early 1900s. And there were three Italian immigrants who had made their way to a new homeland to establish themselves here in the U.S. And they came to live in Los Angeles. And in the early 1900s, there was a move of God, an outpouring of God's Spirit in an unusual way, as that happens throughout history. It was called the Azusa Street Revival. And they got caught up in the Azusa Street Revival and came to a personalized faith in God through Jesus Christ. They were captured by his sacrifice for them. And they didn't know what would happen, but what they said together is, "We're going to dream, we're going to pray, we're going to give, we're going to serve, and we're going to sacrifice, whatever it takes." And they began to meet together, and out of that was birthed the Italian Christian Assembly. Those are our roots. And for many years they gathered, and it was only a handful of them. But they weren't concerned, because, see, big was never their goal. God was their goal. Life with God was their goal. And let me just remind all the CA family this weekend. See, big is not an adequate goal. I've been asked, "Mark, are you impressed that we're going to the Pasadena Civic?" Not for a moment. Not for a moment. Because, see, our goal is not big. Our goal is God. Cheryl just stated that just a moment ago, that we believe that God is wanting us to, for every heart, convinced and unconvinced, to come to know God and then to come to know life with God. One day, God began to just pour himself out on this little community. And they were busting at the seams on a little location called Avenue 22 in Los Angeles. And let me tell you, if you were ever going to pick a facility that was the least strategic for church growth, it was that place. But you couldn't stop it. People were coming. Something was happening. And they were just bursting at the seams. And as they prayed, God opened the door for this property. This building was not here. God opened the door for this property. They took some steps. They got an architect. And they came up with these plans. And the cost was $400,000 to build this building. Now, in those days, I mean, that seems like nothing to us now. You can't even buy a lot anywhere in the city for that. But $400,000 was a staggering number to this little small community. In fact, some said, you know, we can't, it's too big. It's beyond us. And there were others who said, we got to try. And here we are today. See, what is the church? The church is only, it is the gathering of people who are responding to the sacrifice of the Savior. And in response, they become a people of sacrifice. See, the church is always built on the sacrifice of the generation that comes before it. And the baton now is in our hands. And if anything of the life of God is going to happen through us, it will be because we are willing to pioneer in a same way. And that will take the sacrifice of every one of us who call CA home. Couldn't we have, here's my vote. Let's vote for Tom and Matt and Cheryl to do all the sacrifice. I like that program. Just leave me out of it. Don't vote me into it, please. Can we have one or two or three who will do all the sacrificing? And the answer is no. It takes us all. The sacrifice of surrender has never been easy. But to think that your prayers, your gifts, to think that your sacrifice is not needed is the lie that kills the church. One more scripture. The setting is the last week of Jesus' life. It's this week of Passion. It's from Luke chapter 21, and it's one of the greatest stories of sacrifice in all the Bible. Just follow along as I read. Jesus was in the temple. He watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything that she has. This is the last week of Jesus' life. He's teaching in the temple. It's almost the Passover, and he's going to take a break, and he's just going to do some people watching. So he's positioned right before what would have been called the temple treasury. It's the Passover, and Jews would come from near and far to celebrate this festival of the Passover. And every one of them would have brought some kind of offering to give. And Jesus is just watching them as they line up and bring their gifts to the temple. And he sees a widow that catches his attention. She's poor. Now, a widow in our day means just somebody's husband has died. But not in that day. Because to say that you were a widow meant that you were also the poorest of the poor. In fact, a widow would have been referred to as a silent one because there was no one to speak for them, to care for them. And she has in her possession the smallest unit of currency in Jesus' day, the equivalent of 2 pennies. Now, the text says that it's all that she has. Now, it's not all that she has on her. It's all that she has. So can you imagine as she begins to step in line closer and closer to where she will give this sacrificial gift, this is not a casual moment for her. She has prayed, and she is agonizing over this. Because you've got to know that she probably thought, you know, God doesn't need my 2 cents. And if I give this, what then? I have no husband, I have no assets, I have no prospects, I have no backup plan, I have no safety net. And for crying out loud, 2 cents, God doesn't need my sacrifice. But then she thought about God, who had been her everything. She thought as a little girl, ah, God had just walked with her and been so gracious to her. And even when she met her husband, she could recall the joy of finding somebody that she could share her life with, then only come to the tragedy of the death of her husband. And when no one else had time to notice and to listen, God did. Oh, and it's the Passover as well. She's going to remember about a sacrificial lamb that expressed God's sacrificial love for her. She thinks of how God had delivered the Jewish people from 400 years of the harshest and most cruel Egyptian slavery, and how he'd led his people into the wilderness and been their daily bread as he had fed them food from heaven called manna, and even the miracle of water from a rock. One thing she knew for sure, if she made this sacrifice, no one would ever notice. And oh, others are bringing their large gifts, their silver and their gold, and they're making such a racket, so much noise. They're making a big splash as they come to the place of offering. And people are standing back and saying, wow, look at them. Look at them. Now that's a real player. Her gift would make no noise at all. She finally steps to the place of offering, and she lets it go. There's no sound at all. She walks off, and inside she thinks, I did it. I gave it all to you, God. Oh, how I trust you. Now, what she could not know was there was a man who was watching her sacrifice. A young rabbi gets all choked up. Maybe it caused him to think about another widow, his own mom. He calls his disciples together and he says, you got to see this. And he points her out. She has put in more than all of these others combined, he says. Now, she could not know that this young, strong rabbi is agonizing over a sacrifice he will make this Passover week, because this is the week of his death. She wouldn't know that as he watched her give all that she had, that it would move him to lay down his life, to offer salvation, the forgiveness of sins, to you and me. And she could not know that centuries would pass, empires, nations, corporations, fortunes would rise and fall and be forgotten. But the sound of her two pennies would echo still after 2,000 years. She could not know that of all the gifts that would ever be given to God in the history of the human race, her gift would be the history maker. See, all she knew is that's what love does. All she knew was the joyful, frightening, liberating call of sacrificial love. And now it's our day. And it's our turn. Alex, would you come? Tommy, on the other side. As we consider this week, which will lead to a cross of sacrifice, it is our prayer that God let a miracle happen in us, that we become men and women, we become a community of sacrificial love. We've come on this Palm Sunday to this table to remember the sacrificial love of Jesus on our behalf. And as we take this bread today, we are staggered by his gift. And the only thing we can do is worship and surrender our lives afresh. In a moment, a cracker will come to you. It's a symbol of his body. As you take that, I'm just going to ask you to give thanks. And as we drink this cup, we remember the pain that he embraced to establish a new covenant so that sin could be forgiven. And as we do that, the scriptures tell us to remember with thanksgiving. It was on the night that Jesus would be betrayed that with his followers he came to this final meal. And at that meal he broke bread, gave thanks, and said, "Eat this, remember me." And in the same way he took the cup. He said, "As you drink from this, remember that a new covenant is established. It will require the shedding of my blood for the forgiveness of sins, and as you do, remember me." See, the only sane response by people who are seized by this sacrifice is to worship with great gratitude. So we're going to do that this morning. In fact, we're really earlier than most weekends in our time. So I'm going to ask you not to be in a hurry. We're not going to be long. We'll be just a few moments together. But would you just remember, begin to set this week in motion as we reflect on his great sacrificial love for every one of us.